Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Meeting the right people at the right time. That's a theme that runs through the life of Club Viva owner Cesar Cardona. And on this last day of Hispanic Heritage Month, Cesar's story about Club Viva, a Latin dance nightclub that's turning 28 this year, is being released as part of an online first series produced by 9PBS and Humans of St. Louis. Cesar took over Club Viva from friends in 2006, but before that couple asked him to take ownership of the club, there were other people at earlier times and in other places who were instrumental in Cesar's journey to making St. Louis his home, and he joins us now to share about it. Cesar, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, your story, part of the video that's coming out today, is about your mother taking you to a wise man who told you that you were going to be successful in the United States and that you should be careful with the law.
Yes.
Now, in 1986, you were about 18, 19 years old?
Yes.
Yes. And you were going to school for architecture, and a friend who came back to Colombia from the U.S. was going back, and she asked you if you wanted to go.
Yes, correct.
And you said yes. So, Cesar, what was happening in Colombia in the mid-1980s that made you decide to leave for the United States and to do so at considerable risk?
Well, I was going to school and life was okay. It was a lot of crime because the drug dealers and everything was terrible. But I always wanted, a friend of mine came to the States and always asked me, why you don't come and take a look at the States. And I always wanted to come, but when this opportunity, when my friend asked me to come with her, I said, maybe this is the chance to go and adventure and mm-hmm. see the States and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
So.
And so that's how you got here, through Mexico.
Yeah, we came through Mexico. It was an experience, but I don't know if you want me to tell you a little bit about that experience.
How did it feel to make that decision, knowing, especially because that wise man had told you, be careful about the law, you know, about the possibility of being sent back?
Well, you yawn and you feel a little bit invincible. So I say, well, the last thing that can happen to me, they send me back, but I just gonna give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So I went for it.
Yeah.
And I make it, yeah.
And you ended up going then to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah. Yes.
Why did you go to L.A.?
Well, I had some friends over there in Los Angeles, including one ex-girlfriend too, yeah. So I got some support when I got to L.A., so these people really helped me to start.
So you're looking for some community already.
Yeah, yes.
And while you were in Los Angeles, you worked various jobs, right?
Yeah, definitely when you come to the States, you really don't know what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, okay. So I say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to live in America,
mm-hmm.
the American dream. So when I came to L.A., I do many things.
Uh-huh.
You know, work as a newspaper delivery, in a car shop,
mm-hmm.
and also finally I find a job as a handyman,
mm-hmm.
working in houses in Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills?
Yes.
So you were seeing a very particular side of the United States.
Oh, yes,
then.
Yes.
Yeah. At one of the workplaces, you met someone, someone who's actually famous in a very particular way. And he was the one to put St. Louis on your migration map. And his name was Gio Obata.
Gio Obata. Well, that happened that way. I went to New York for a couple months, and mm-hmm. I came back to L.A. I didn't have a job. So a friend of mine say, there is a parking garage job available.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I'll call your company. And they hired me, and I went to work in this parking garage. And what happened, there was an architecture company in Los Angeles called HOK,
mm-hmm.
who their headquarters here in St. Louis. Yeah. So to make the story short, I was working there, and one day I found this money clip with some money on the parking lot, and I saved it. And a couple months later, somebody from St. Louis office came and asked if somebody found that money clip. And I told him, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he really wanted to do something for me.
Mm-hmm.
He came back in the afternoon and asked me, what can I do for you? And I say, well, I was studying architecture in my home, and maybe there is a chance to work with your company.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's right. Let me see what I can do. And he left. And the next Monday, they called me from the office, and they say, we have a job for you. And I was hired by HOK Los Angeles mm-hmm. to work with them on the printing department.
In the printing department.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to mention the name of the person. His name was Keen Graff.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the big guys here in HOK
mm-hmm.
St. Louis. So to make it quick, after 2 years I was working in HOK Los Angeles, they say to us, Mr. Gio Obata, who was the co-founder and owner of HOK, and his wife and his little kid are coming to Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
to visit. See, we need somebody, a volunteer, to help in driving around. And
mm-hmm.
I raised my hand. I said, I'll do it. So they were there for a week. It was great meeting them. And they came back to St. Louis and goodbye. And another 2 years went by. And I got a phone call from St. Louis, and it was a Gio's wife, Courtney, and tell me, Cesar, we're going to be back in Los Angeles, and my son remembers you. So we want for you to be with us again. And actually, they went down there they were inaugurating the Japanese Museum.
Japanese American National Museum.
Museum in Los Angeles that HOK designed.
Right.
And so they were there the whole week, and we went to the inauguration. Very cool people. They invited me. I was with them. And at the end of this Friday inauguration, they invited me to the hotel to have a tea with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they asked me if I want to move to St. Louis with them and be part of their family.
Yeah. So
like,
meeting, you know, the right people at the right time.
Yes.
Was there some aspect of that? Were you kind of itching to go somewhere new when they presented this idea to you?
Not really. I was kind of scared. And I even asked my question, what is St. Louis? I never in my mind crossed that I was going to end up in St. Louis.
Right.
So they saw my face, and they said, don't worry, we'll call you in a month. And in a month they called me, and they invite me to come to St. Louis
mm-hmm.
for a week. They showed me around and say, this is where you're going to live, and you want to go back to school, whatever, we're going to support you.
Oh, wow. So, Cesar, you are the owner of Club Viva, right?
Yeah.
Immigrant from Colombia.
Yes.
You come to St. Louis. What do you remember about how St. Louis looked and how it felt?
Well, when I came to St. Louis, it looked small for me. It was quiet,
mm-hmm.
too quiet, because after living in Los Angeles,
right.
It is so quiet, and weekends, nothing to do. Like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this. because I love to dance. I love the going dancing. But soon I started meeting people. And I met Mateo and Isabel, the Colombian Society. And Mateo, he was a student at San Luis University. Mm-hmm. I think he finished, but he stayed in San Luis. And he started doing some Latin nights in different venues. Mm-hmm. We all rent a place. I remember Casa Loma Ballroom Dance, that's very famous.
Okay.
He used to do once a month a Latin night there. And for years, that was my entertainment.
Yeah. And so Mateo and Isabel, they talked to you about opening a club, which is Club Viva, and that was in 1996. And then 10 years later, you took it over to become the owner. And at the start of the video that's going to go live today on 9PBS's YouTube channel, you say that you never thought you'd be running a nightclub.
Never.
So why did you agree to take it over?
Yeah, after, you know, I was in San Luis and they decided to open the club. So they opened Club Viva. And I was part of Club Viva on the dancing park, because I love to dance. So people here, they didn't know how to dance our music.
Right.
So we started giving classes and always part of the club on that way with my friends. But never crossed my mind that I'm going to own a club or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2006, they put the class for sale because they were moving to Chicago. And I know so many people want to buy it because it was a good business. But Isabel and Mateo came to my place and told me, I want you to buy Club Viva because we know you're the one who's going to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And I flat told them, no, I don't want a nightclub. I really don't.
So you were reluctant at first.
Yeah, yeah. But they insist. They say, Cesar, it doesn't matter. Maybe you stay, start working at Club Viva as an administrator, and you learn how to run the business. And they got me into it.
Yeah.
I applied for my licenses. Everything went through. And what I found in particular, his license expired this week. And the following week, I opened Viva under my license.
Wow. So was that quick?
It never was a gap. Yeah.
So the club, it's been a kind of home for St. Louisans who love Latin dance, like salsa and bachata. It's also been a place, though, that visitors from other places in the world have sought out. And then when they come back to St. Louis, they come back again. Is that part of the reason you feel like you made a good decision in buying Club Viva?
That's amazing, I think. I talked to my salsa instructors and bachata instructors, and the legacy of Club Viva for San Luis, for the community, is be able to bring our music and our dance and give it to the community. And for them to come back after years and say, hey, Cesar, you're still here. This is home. I had to come back home. And that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And how people see Viva like it's part of their lives.
Right, right.
Because to call it home, it means big for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So as a 19-year-old who was studying architecture in Colombia, you know, a friend gave you the idea to come to the U.S., and then you meet someone in L.A., an architect who asks you, the family asks you to come to St. Louis, and then Club Viva, it's going to turn 28 this year. You've been running it for almost 18 years. There's kind of an architecture of relationships and friendships, right? And that feeling of a home that you've built. How does it feel that there's now a video out there for anybody to see, to understand part of that story?
I mean, it couldn't be better than that. I mean, the feeling that the recognition is just, it means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I find that Club Viva is a legacy
mm-hmm.
for San Luis with the video, but also it's very particular for me because wherever I go, when they say the name, everybody, oh, Clad Viva, you know, somebody, I know somebody and been there. It's well known.
Yeah.
Not only in the city, it's all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know, people come to San Luis and they say, I had to go to Clad Viva. Yeah. So.
Cesar Cardona is the owner of Club Viva, a nightclub in the Central West End neighborhood that is dedicated to Latin dance. Cesar, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing part of your story
with
us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, of course.
Very nice.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury
and by Elaine Shaw. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.